turned off the lights?
And the music isn't gentle anymore.
Because this is 29 minutes of truth from the mouth of Alan Parker, Urban Warrior.
On your side and in your ear.
Yeah. Alan says.
What have we got? What have we got? What have we got? Nothing. When do we want it? Now.
Throat.
Normal service will be resumed.
Not be resumed.
Revolution will not be televised.
Revolution will not be televised. It's on the radio.
Throat.
Kicking down the barriers, then building new ones. Kicking them down as well.
Suffer. This
is Alan P. Urban W on the MIC. Have with me comrade pal Stu.
Hello Britain, unite and fight.
Stu, one of the few men that is possible to summarise in one word.
Fact.
That's not fair, it isn't.
Truth.
Shut up, Stu. Shut up, the voice of woman is silent.
I'm not a woman.
No, Stu, but the question is why aren't you?
I changed my mind, you know, it was just a phase.
No, Stu, the voice of woman is not heard enough on the radio. All right, but I'm going to rectify that right now.
Cheers.
Voices of women there. Plenty more to come. In fact, during this programme, I'm hoping to play you the voices of over 300 women.
Alan Parker, kicking down the barriers.
I kick down those barriers, you know. This week I've been concentrating on kicking down the trade barriers. Shop windows, as they're called. Questions and answers. A lot of songs ask questions. But what we need these days is answers. Just have sex. Simple as that. More answers to questions later on. This is 29 Minutes of Truth, and the issue is shops!
That's right,
Stu. What do you get in shops?
Food, clothes, spray cans, get arrested.
Yes, all of those, but mainly pressure. Pressure to buy things you don't even want, like dresses. But you buy them.
I told you, it's just a phase.
Well, what are shops, really?
Different words for fascism.
Number 224, shops.
Right, let's take it down now.
Diphtheria, leukemia, tuberculosis, bronchitis, dysentery, typhoid, black death, warts.
Diseases. Let's not forget about diseases. Right, what's next on the agenda for change?
Radical advert break.
If you're thinking of buying a mobile phone, think again. Get a megaphone.
Unite and fight.
Okay, so with a megaphone, you can only speak to people over a range of 30 metres. But you can speak to a lot of people at once. And all right, the number of people tends to decrease quite rapidly once you start talking, but you can counteract that by talking really quickly and starting your speech somewhere very crowded.
Alan P, shouting things louder if you don't listen.
The other thing is that unlike with a mobile phone, you can't hear what the other people are saying to you. But personally, I've never really found that much of a disadvantage. Basically, it's a them and us thing.
Them and us. Voices of...
us.
Hey, you know what it's like. It's late at night, you're in someone's house, and you're caught short, right? So you go to the toilet, but you try really hard not to make any noise at all in case someone wakes up and raises the alarm.
Larry there, burglar by trade. He's a sort of Robin Hood figure down the local, you know, stealing from the rich and giving to the poor.
What, does he give to the poor, does he, yeah?
Okay, he's a half Robin Hood. Anyway, he steals from the rich. It's a start, you know, one step at a time. Now, before we came on air, I conducted a phone poll, right, the results of which are quite startling. Over 70% of the people asked were against phones.
70%?
Yeah.
Well, you only asked me, though, didn't you?
Well, I asked myself as well.
All right, but I said I didn't even mind phones.
Well, all right, so you didn't mind them, right? That means you're 50% against them, right? And I'm 100% against. You work it out, right? That's 75% against on average. Basic math skills,
that
mate.
That is not a proper phone poll.
Well, what's a proper phone poll?
A proper phone poll is where people ring in, you ring, and they ring you back, and then you compile the results like they have on breakfast television, you
Stu,
know.
Stu, the phone votes on breakfast TV are a complete waste of time.
And you're, why not?
Well, because if you decide to watch breakfast TV, then you're a brain-numbed idiot, right? And if you tune in by accident, you'll turn into one within a few minutes. There's no point. Anyway, phones are a bad thing. I think
well,
we've
let's see if you can
that.
Make those sort of generalisations on no.
Haven't you been investigating some other bad things for us?
Yes.
Well, I think it's time for that then, all right? It's not natural, normal or kind. The flesh you so fancifully fry. The meat in your mouth as you savour the flavour of animals in this country are being packed together into lorries in terrible sub-conditions, without food or air or water, often they're frozen as well, and transported hundreds of miles over the sea to the abroad countries. And these are the lucky ones, because there are other animals that don't even get a holiday and never get to travel even to the next field. And even these poor creatures are lucky, because there are some animals in this country that are forced into the unbearably cramped conditions on the inside of pies.
Thanks, Jew. Check this out, now I'm black, but black people trip,
because white people like me, white people like me. But don't I watch the TV with its pictures of riots in Los Angeles and places with people rioting and looting, and sometimes I wish I could go there and help in some way. Carry some televisions, or maybe smash a small window or something, but you know, I live in Tring, and things aren't quite like that. It's all very quiet.
More voices of women there. How is that so far, Stu? Been keeping
four,
count?
It's four voices of women.
Right, better get a move on. Voodoo Queens, good point, sisters, on your side. No supermodels, right? They think they're famous, don't they, right? That's not real fame. Real fame is local fame. You know, when you're a known face in the area. You know, you can go into a laundrette and people say, oh no, not you again, Slingy Hook, that sort of thing. When will I be famous? 1990, briefly. Wrong question. They should have asked, when will I stop being famous and end up penniless in a bankruptcy court having been crushed by the bourgeois fascist middle-class Nazi system? Although that might be a bit long for a song, I don't know.
Them and us. Voices of them. The idea that public schools are just these elitist institutions full of overprivileged boys buggering each other the whole time is ridiculous. There are lessons in the morning.
Now, it's very easy to mock people with upper-class accents. And it doesn't take much time either, so there's no excuse for not doing it as often as possible. I mean, they don't have to speak like that, they can change, surely.
Alan says, adopt a Cockney accent, then use it.
Come on, Nigel Kennedy's the way forward. Headmaster's had enough today. All the kids have gone away, gone to fight the next to school. Every time that is the rule. Kids playing war, badly. Playing war, I tell you. You scratch any school kid, you find a soldier underneath. You scratch a soldier, and he'll hit you. That's the difference.
Problem? What is your problem? Everybody's dancing and going mad.
You need psychological.
It's matter, yeah. I used to an extra boy at school called David Pratt, and he hated that register being called out. And the chanting as well, of course. David Pratt, you're Pratt, David Pratt, 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 Pratt. That's what they used to chant, not me. Not me. I used to reassure him. I used to say to him, David, just because your name is Pratt doesn't mean you're a Pratt. You are a Pratt, but that has got nothing to do with your name. How long must we sing this song? How long 3 minutes, 24 seconds. Now, every class at school has its scapegoat, its whipping boy, the kid that everyone picks on all the time. In my school, I decided to allow that to be me.
Really good of you to do that.
Yeah, well, I used to wear glasses, Stu, right? I didn't have to wear them to see. I wore them to show my support for the optically defective people of the world. Like David Pratt, for example. In fact, I was showing particular support for him, right? So his glasses I used to wear. No, he never really saw what I was getting at.
Yeah, or the blackboard after that.
Yeah, all right, but it didn't matter. He didn't have to read the lies up there when he me telling him the truth in his ear. Anyway, now for some advice for people at school.
Focus on books.
With a magnifying glass, they soon catch fire. Cheers.
Oi, what are you doing?
Cheers. Here's Elvis Costello.
Don't tell me you don't know what love is, when you're old enough to know better, when you find strange hands in your sweater, when your dreamboat turns out to be a footnote. I'm a man with a mission in 2 or 3 editions, and I'm giving you a long look.
Then you're a tough, aren't you, Elvis? Case dismissed. Now, the latest academic techniques for studying books is to count the number of different words in them.
Right.
Right? Say the word man occurs 300 times, yep. But the word woman only 20, then that book is clearly sexist book. Right. So on. Now, I've got Stu here to apply that technique to a recently published novel.
Yeah, it's The House on the Hill. By Stanley Lawrence.
That's right. Now, how long will it take you, Stu?
2 days to do the old survey on that.
Right, well done. Time well spent. And looking at his results, we can see that the word cat,
cat occurs 221 times
in there. Now, and there's about 4,000 words
4,000 words
bloke,
meaning bloke, yeah.
But only
3,140 words meaning woman.
Right, so that book is slightly...
Sexist book. Slightly sexist.
Now, interestingly, the word shithole recurs.
That's 604 times.
Yeah, but that is not that surprising when you consider that it is set in Coventry.
Yeah, well, you know, it's what you expect.
But the thing that really clinches me for you on this book, right, is the phrase unite and fight
doesn't occur at all.
No. Right, now... You compare that to something like, say, Best of Socialist Worker.
Yeah, that's got 7,644 United Fights.
At the last count. Yeah. And you can see it's not really in the running as a book. Now, Stu, take the book, right, burn it.
Okay.
Got some matches?
Yeah.
Right, now, books are full of words. But what do they mean, words? It's time we sort out the basic meanings of words. That's why I am fully behind the No Means No campaign organised by women's groups, because it states categorically what no means, in case you're in any doubt. And if there was to be a Yes Means Yes campaign by those women's campaign groups, I'd also give it my full support.
Yeah, and me, I would as well. Yeah.
Right, and that's good. But what about maybe, eh? What does that mean?
Maybe.
No. Maybe means no, Stu, my experience.
It's a personal thing, though, isn't it?
Well, whatever, it doesn't matter. Now, see, things aren't quite as simple as they appear. Present company accepted.
Thank you.
Now, but what we need these days, see, are some new words. New words for the right now situation of today, right now. So I have invented some.
New words for the 90s.
A timoid.
Sort of person that when you're going into McDonald's won't tell you what they're ordering in case you copy them. Often they're called something like Tim and live in the Highbury area of North London.
An overism.
This is the phrase that people use which indicates that for them the evening is over. They'll be soon leaving the pub and going to bed. For example, well, it has been really good to see you, or is the word on tonight, what my round, that sort of thing.
Female vacuum.
The sudden realisation at 4 o'clock in the morning that it's just blokes left now at the do.
Them and us. Voices of...
Us. There's a woman who lives down my road and she's got this disabled child who's, like, terribly deformed and that, and I always felt really sorry for her. And I saw her one day pushing the child along in a wheelchair. So I said to her, you know, how's things? And she said, his name's David.
Now, I was in a band once myself. We were called The Truth, incidentally. I thought maybe, like, get some of our songs reviewed on the programme. Obviously, I can't review myself, wouldn't be objective enough. So last week, I asked Stu, who wasn't so involved with
the
band...
Well, I did play the guitar and get the four tracks.
As I said, Stu, who, despite playing lead guitar, never really seemed that involved with the band.
A lot of time.
I asked him to review our album. Here is his review.
Stu's album review.
The first thing you notice about this album, or tape, I should say, is the sleeve. It's actually a sleeve torn off a suit. My suit, in fact, given to me by my mother on my 21st birthday. This is a silly and pathetic idea, destroying a perfectly good piece of clothing to make some stupid, supposedly political statement only a 16-year-old would think was any good.
Hold on, what's going on here?
You know what's
Stu,
going on here?
Whose side are you on?
I'm on my side.
Explained about your suit at the
you
time.
You didn't explain about my suit. And anyway,
it's
the point
terrible
is...
terrible reviews. Not
yeah,
act.
But the music is really good and it gets better. Listen, play some more, it gets better.
All right.
The first song on the tape has a sort of 60s feel. It's called Pretty Flowers.
Flowers in the afternoon sun, and the birdies singing 'cause day has begun. Trees all lovely and green. People saying hello to each other as if they really mean it. Children ice creams while everybody smiles. Yeah.
Guitar work there by me, let down by some crap lyrics and poor singing. The next song is also spoiled in a similar way due to Alan Parker.
That's it, enough. Can't I trust you to do anything?
I was expressing my point of view there.
1 minute, I'll get someone to review it properly next week. You were just out of order, son. Out of order.
Yeah.
Them and us. Voices of
us.
I went to the doctor recently and she told me that I was paranoid. But what do they know, the doctors? I asked a man following me around and he said I wasn't.
Doctor, doctor, can't you see I'm burning, burning? Oh, doctor, doctor.
Respect. Now, Stu, when you visit the doctor, what do you take with you?
Urine.
A tape recorder.
OK, here we go now.
Not you again. You need an appointment, Mr. Parker.
Appointment, appointment. I think
you
know
need
what
to
saying.
Make an appointment.
Oh,
look,
yeah.
I'm seeing another patient at the
moment.
Yeah,
well, you've got two eyes. You can see me as well, can't you?
One patient at a time.
We're all in this together. Like, are you, your problem's my problem, okay? Because you're me and I'm
this
you.
This is absolutely intolerable.
What's wrong with you, mate, anyway?
That's none of your business.
Sore throat? Yeah.
Right.
I've been shouting. Been shouting. Now I'm on your side. I'm doing it myself.
Worry,
anyway, we're too realistic to change this country. Let's shout.
I'm going to get security.
You know what's wrong with me? Have a guess. Guess what's wrong with me?
Are you mental?
No, I'm sane, mate. Society is mental. Good tip, right, for your sore throat thing, right, mate? Right, get a megaphone. Get a megaphone, see? Get a megaphone, see? Get a megaphone, mate. Right, see? You don't have to shout then. I mean, you still can, like, if you're excited or, like, someone's listening or something.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, that happens. But, you see, you can shout anyway. Right, here, have a go. Go on, have a go. Oh. Go on, say something.
Hello?
Hello? What's that going to achieve? It's rubbish, hello. Oh, maybe you're right, though. Maybe you're right, that's it. Maybe if everyone in the whole country was going around shouting hello in each other's faces, that'd be the way forward to utopian dreamland of the future. You're a good bloke.
Oh, thank you.
Careful. Thank you. It's getting a bit bourgeois, see? Fashion, middle class, Nazi fashion, isn't it? It's not bloody lardy dar Hampstead here, you know, mate. You say tar, okay? Tar.
Right, Mr. Parker, security on their way. Would you kindly leave? If you want to see a doctor, make an appointment. And if it's something urgent, go to a hospital.
Yeah, hospitals? You think I'm going to a bloody hospital? Wait, hospital, not there, they're prisons. Prisons for the ill.
Goodbye, Mr. Parker.
Yeah, goodbye.
Hospitals, prisons for the ill.
Who should I?
earn most. The government philosophy is the people who earn most should be the ones that do already, right? And the main appeal of which is that it's simplicity, right? I mean, they don't have to do anything.
That's the laissez-faire approach.
That's right, question, Latin for less fair. But really, who should be paid more, right? Who? Nurses or someone doing some other job?
Well, that depends on the job.
Well, clearly, it's nurses, Stu, right? But on the other hand, right, on the nurses' issue, on the minor side, what they wear
uniforms.
Uniforms, right. That's okay. So we should pay them more on condition they abandon the uniform business. But right, we don't have to wait for the government to do it. We can take direct action ourselves, right? Just go up to a nurse, give them some money, right?
Alan Parker, taking direct action directly.
Attention, attention! I will give any nurse £10 if they agree to take off their uniform!
Radical problems?
No, no, no!
Radical solutions?
And radical bruises from hospital security. It made me angry.
Anger is an energy!
We've all got anger and hatred inside us. The important thing is to take that hatred and to channel it, to focus it. And I focus mine on Coventry. A lot of people slag off Birmingham, but they've never been to Coventry.
Coventry, that's where someone tried to flush your head down a toilet,
no,
isn't it?
No, and even if it was true, right, that's not the reason, right? Anyway, here's one of Phil Collins' early releases. Probably he wrote that, you know, wouldn't surprise me. Actually, I managed to wangle an interview with Phil Collins.
How did that go then? What was he like, little
Phil? Well,
it was
a very short interview. Now, we all see Phil Collins on telly, right, pretending like he's an amiable bloke and singing.
Seems very nice.
Yeah, but what I want to know is what lies behind the mask. Come on, show me! Turns out, isn't a mask at all. He actually is that ugly. So, on his side then, I suppose.
Faces, faces everywhere.
Good point to Unlimited. Well observed. Because you see, I am on the side of people with ugly faces. They're oppressed, right? And I'm on the side generally of oppressed people. You know, when push comes to shove, the battle lines are drawn. Ugly people on one side, good-looking people on the other. I always have been and always will be on the ugly side.
Well, I don't know, Alan, you look all right sometimes. Ha ha ha.
No, Stu, I mean I support them. I don't mean I am one, all right?
Well, you are one.
Stu, beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Well, I am beholding you, right? And in the eye of me, the beholder, now, you are ugly.
Faces, faces everywhere.
Ah-ha! Ow! Too Unlimited there with faces, faces.
Oh, my nose, you've made it bleed. What did you do that for?
Stu, to prove a point, right? Boy. To demonstrate to you that beauty is only skin deep.
What, by hitting someone in the face?
By doing that, I am showing you under your skin is blood, right? Yeah. Just like everybody else, we're all the same, you know? Everybody has to peel off their skins and throw them away. The whole world could live together in harmony.
In agony.
Agony as well, okay, but it'd be worth it. Throw away your skins unless you know it.
Faces, faces everywhere.
Although, actually, someone told me recently that it's not about faces at all. That, in fact, it's a political song, but because of their Dutch accents, because we have problems understanding them, what they're actually singing is feces, feces everywhere. It's protests about a terrible dog mess problem they have in Holland and probably inspired by the Pogues.
Early old town.
No, you're a gay man. I don't want to hurt you, I want to support you. But I don't particularly want to listen to you either. So would you please stop making records? But other than that, on your side, Boy George. Stu, have you ever been part of an oppressed minority?
I was in the Scouts once.
That doesn't count, they're not a minority. No. Anyway, apart from that...
No.
Well, now's your lucky chance, mate.
Right.
Ready for next week, I want you to investigate what it's like to become a member of an oppressed minority. I want you to be... gay for a week.
Right, gay for a week. Right, thanks. That'll be good.
Good luck with it. Yeah. Now, talking of oppressed minorities, how many voices of women so far?
I don't know. Six, seven, I don't know.
Right.
Seven.
Drastic action call for, I feel. When?
You know, when. We've got to support women, right? Not just the younger generation blokes, but older blokes as well. We've got to get our dads to appreciate the feminist message. Stu, what about you? Does your dad support women?
Couple, yeah.
Well, so start. Now, when will the feminist message get across? And what is that message? What do they seek to achieve, the feminists?
What do feminists want?
Equal rights, a chance to have a job that pays well, as a man who's doing the same sort of job.
Well, equality, probably, and jobs.
Chocolate.
An argument.
Spiky bras.
Good shagging.
A lot of ignorance to be confronted, I'm sure you'll agree. And that's why we need...
Alan Parker, Urban Warriors, Guide to Feminism.
Feminism began in the 60s in America when some bras, which had been designed by men... That's right, men. Cheers, sisters, on your side. Anyway, these bras were too tight, but rather than asking for their money back, women burned these bras in the street as a protest.
This led on to the suffragette movement, which was a campaign to allow women to become jockeys. This reached its climax when one woman, Germaine Greer, tried to become a jockey during a race. She attempted to leap onto a racehorse while it was still moving, with tragic consequences.
Women are angry.
And ugly as well, some of them.
Yeah, but most of them are really beautiful.
Yeah.
And this is a cause of continuing debate within the feminist movement. Should the ugly ones pretty themselves up with makeup and that, or should the beautiful ones tone themselves down a bit by wearing rags and scowling? Feminists wear Dr. Martin boots, right? This is to show that women could be miners if they really wanted. Right, for far too long, coal mining's been a bastion of male supremacy. Fortunately, the government now closing the coal mines, so the problem is solved.
The other reason they wear DMs is that women don't weigh much, and having heavy boots keeps them firmly on the ground in high winds. If you meet a feminist, there are certain things you must not say to her, right? Firstly, don't call her honey, love, darling, pet, or sweetheart, dear...
etc. Nothing nice, in fact. And to be on the safe side, don't say anything at all, right? Just listen. Listen to what she says. And occasionally say yes or I'm sorry, I'm really sorry, where appropriate.
Sex.
Feminists do have sex, but they reserve the right not to enjoy it and to have a good moan about it afterwards to their friends. Much as it pains me to say it, here's the police.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Those days are over. You don't have to sell your body to the night.
Roxanne. Stu, prostitution, should we ban it?
Well, I don't think the question is should we, it's can we.
No, it was definitely should we. I decide the questions around here, all right,
but
mate?
But we can't.
So
right?
We shouldn't?
No, well, it's not... If we can't, then whether we should or not is irrelevant, you know, it's just...
Don't get clever with me, Stu, all right? It won't work.
Them and us. Voices of...
us. I was walking along the road and one of the cocky blokes from the pub came up to me. He said, all flirtatiously, "Hello, Mrs. Adams, not got your nippers with you this morning?" I said, "Yes, I have, and I'm not afraid to use them."
Cheers! Woman standing up for herself. Good to see! Now, there's loads of different women's campaign groups, which I'm all behind. Like, there's Women Against the Bomb, Women Against Poverty, Wages for Housework.
Wages for Housework, right? Does that mean paying someone to do your chores? I mean, that is the same, Alan, as having a servant, isn't it?
No.
Or a slave.
No, Stu, it depends on the wages, see? Right? Uh-huh. You're right. If you employ someone, give them wages, you exploit them.
Exploiting them.
The only way is to pay them more than you earn yourself. That way, they're exploiting you. That's okay. Anyway, we were hoping to be joined at this point by a representative of the umbrella organisation Women Against Everything.
Yeah, but unfortunately she was against coming into the studio, so it didn't...
Never mind. And anyway, the 29 minutes is up. Respect to Alan Evans, Stu Lee, Carla Mendonca, Peter Serafinovic. Time to say goodbye.
Or is it?
You say goodbye and I say hello. Hello, hello.
Unite and fight! Cheers. Don't go back to your old values.